For those who don't know my story, when I was 12 years old, I was diagnosed with Tourette's and I was on medication for almost 10 years. When I was 21, I learned something called The Secret and I came off the medication overnight against everyone telling me to stay on it, and I had a spiritual awakening. I meditated for 3 weeks straight and my Tourette's disappeared, and I created the podcast to simply preach about everything that most people have in their head but no one ever speaks about, which is what the twitching was. It was too many thoughts inside my head, and now I have a platform where I can speak to people and they can get out what's in their head. I have just launched my first course and it's called Take Control, and it's basically the system that I went through when I was 21 and I had my awakening. It's the same system that I've done for my parents and close friends and family members, and it's changed their life. Individual steps that we don't see as much, but when you put it together as part of a life that you have to maintain and manage, it's life-changing. So check out the course. And if you feel inclined to buy it, buy it. I reckon that it will really change your life if you're going for a spiritual awakening, because I once was, and these steps changed my life. So if you go to talkwitholiver.com and you'll see that my course is there, it's called Take Control. If you buy it and go through it, reach out to me on Instagram and socials and let me know how you get on and what you thought of the course. So if I could ask a favour from all my listeners, upon looking at my stats recently, it has occurred that out of a very humbling 730,000 downloads since I created the podcast back in 2019, that only 10% of you that listen have actually followed and subscribed to the podcast. If I could ask a massive favour from you all that listen, if you wouldn't mind just hitting that follow and subscribe button, it would mean more than you can imagine, and it really does help the show grow and help reach more people in more ways than you and I can even imagine. The bigger the podcast gets, the bigger the guests get. And my aim is to grow the show big enough that I can reach out to amazing people like Russell Brand, Joe Dispenza, Lewis Howes, Grant Cardone, Joe Rogan, and have deep, intimate, and vulnerable one-to-one conversations with them. I want to speak to the human side of people to show we're all the same when you get to the core, regardless of how much money or fame you have.
Can you talk in?
For Archie, when you went for a wee last night, you were waiting patiently, desperately, by the cubicle.
Yes.
And this other guy was waiting next to you. This other guy came out.
You were wearing a pink shirt, that guy, weren't you? Am I remembering that right? Do you not remember in the toilet where Austin, the toilet perfumey person, was? And that guy, I was literally, someone walked out of the cubicle, and I was, as I was like, foot over the threshold, this dude just put his arm out in front of me and shoved me back.
Oh, that guy, yeah, I remember that. I was ready to fucking fight then.
I couldn't be bothered.
No, you definitely egged him on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been funny. We would have got kicked out. That would have been nasty.
Well, I think Austin would have had our back, to be fair, because, you know, we treated him nicely.
Yeah.
I was actually in home. The first time I had to, like, physically interact with someone in a club was at home, nightclub. And it was 5 years ago. Fucking Jesus. 5 years ago, and I'd gone to home with my mate Jamie, who's like I've mentioned to him before, he's like my best mate from childhood. He's like my brother. And then my friend Sam from college, and he'd come up to visit me in Lincoln. And some guy just had a problem with Sam and just grabbed his head and shoved it against the wall. Like, what, like very face, like face. Do you want me to touch your face?
Absolutely.
Like literally grabbed it like that and went straight against the wall. And I was like, whoa, I grabbed this guy by the collar and his arm. And I was like, you need to back the
Whoa, that's not okay.
That's not okay, sir. Please let go of
Fabio,
my friend. He needs to be released instantaneously. And then the bouncer came in, and for want of a better phrase, the looky-looky guy in the toilet was like, no, I didn't see anything. And I was like, dude, yeah, you fucking did. You watched that whole ordeal. Don't fuck about. And the bouncer basically said, right, I can't kick him out because no one saw anything.
I never said nothing.
And then I went up to the bar later with Sam, and the dude was stood next to us at the bar and bought us both a pint. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So that guy pushed in front of me.
No, but so the psychology of that guy
yes.
who pushed in front of you. Normally, it's, if there's a woman, you'd say, you know, you go first, right?
Depends how desperate I am.
How gentlemanly the person is, yeah. But two guys, like, you know, I can understand if it's like the last burger at a buffet, you know. I'd go
or
for
a
the, I'd 20
give a
shit.
Note on the floor.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit. I'm going and I'm winning.
Yeah.
In the toilets,
yeah.
Two blokes wanted to go for a wee, and this guy comes out the door, this guy pushes past you,
yeah.
And you say, hey, dude, don't do that. And he just, like, shoves you off, right?
Yeah.
And he has the audacity to come out So here you go, princess, right? Not only that, you went, dude, what's your problem? You gave him the finger point, and then he smacked you on the ass.
Yeah.
So in a man's toilet.
Quite aggressively.
He comes out and says, going, princess, and he smacks you on the ass. And then you have this, like, sexual, like, tension where you gave him the finger and he went like that, and he's like, there's mould in there or some shit. He smacked you in the ass in the boy's toilet.
I forgot about the slap on the ass.
Yeah, and then you... Yeah,
not a punch in the face.
Slap on the ass.
Princess, enjoy your way.
It's quite a good slap as well.
What a men becoming, man.
He was trying to egg you on, and he snog you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wanted to fuck or fight. I didn't really know.
Yeah, you should have said that. Listen,
he was a little lost.
Fuck me or fight.
Yeah. Pick one, bro. Yeah. I don't like this ambiguity.
I need clarity on our intention.
That was a weird situation.
I never experienced that, observing that dynamic before. That was truly fascinating.
I kind of have that dynamic with a lot of people, I find. A lot, because I tend to frustrate men who are quite toxic. Toxically masculine?
Yeah. Who are just have an imbalance.
We'll go with that, yeah.
They're macho, but really they're gagging for a cock up their ass.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I tend to, like be the stimulus for those kind of men to sort of suddenly feel very aggressive, but then also suddenly let out a burst of...
I think it's because you're very comfortable with your sexuality.
Yeah.
Very much so. And the amount of men that are not is incredibly imbalanced. Like, most men don't understand their sexuality.
Yeah.
And that triggers a man. It's the same with me. Like, that's why, like...
It's understandable.
I remember when I used to be... When I was younger and I had the Justin Bieber haircut...
Oh, dear.
Living in Worcester, which is quite like a chabby place. The amount of times I'd be like, ooh. Like, I remember this one bald guy was working in a burger van. He looked at my hair and was like, ooh, are you gay? I was like, what? Because of my hair. He's like, yeah, man, you got gay hair. I was like, fucking hell.
Just don't get it, man. I've never got it. Like, what? Admittedly, like...
I've never got anyone saying, you're gay?
Oh, no, I have that, like, still to this day.
Dane, you've got a pet rotation.
You're gay! Yeah, like that. like, I obviously, I feel like everyone goes through a phase, don't they, at some point where they use gay as, like, an insult. And, like, at the same time as I do feel bad for having done it in my life, like, it was never an insult because I saw being gay as being a bad thing. It just became a bad word, in the same way that fuck was a bad word.
Yeah, calling your friends a retard at school. Fucking retard.
I've always been caring and had sympathy for people who are disabled and people who... gone through, like, strife, not for people who are gay for the sake of being gay, but, like, for the strife and the struggle that they've had to go through in their life. But I just used it as an insult because it was what people did.
You follow the norm.
Yeah, because it was the norm.
Yeah.
And it's weird that it was the norm, but you can't really control it. Like, I mean, you can say, you know, well, you should stand up to it, you should call people out on it. But when you're back in 12 years...
Yeah, now, yeah, but not 10 years ago. Things evolved from the last thing.
Dude, yeah.
Like black people weren't allowed on buses in the 1950s or whatever. It's unthinkable that now, but that was what it was like then. Yeah. You keep going back in time.
Gay is an insult?
No. Think how things change, narratives
from that
change.
Too, yeah.
Mm.
Like, can't say gay anymore, can't say blacks weren't allowed on buses 50 years ago, but it's like, how is that impossible? You go back even further.
It's mental.
It's just everything evolves from the last thing. That's why you can't ever punish somebody for something in the past, because that was then, not now. Things evolve, everything evolves.
And that's on people. I feel like nowadays is such a... I've said this, I must have said this to you before, about people have...
Can we have this chat in the kitchen?
So yeah, let's shit on it. People don't allow people the right to their own redemption anymore.
Right. People I find myself...
It's cancel culture.
Yeah.
People think, if you've done something wrong, fuck you, you've done something wrong.
I find myself guilty of that a lot, man.
As in, you don't give people the right to redemption?
No, I do, but I'm very, like, I can be quite cutthroat.
Okay.
Like, naturally, and I have to really, like think about it and, like...
Do you feel like you hold grudges? I feel like you have a bit of a grudge. Thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never really thought as... I've never held grudges really myself, maybe once with one specific person, but that was like very specific. But
yeah.
I've never had a problem with other people holding grudges. I've always thought, well, if that's how they deem it necessary, then that's what they're feeling and that's what they're expressing.
I feel like I have a very imbalanced, because I'm like a fighter for justice, and that's not, and I don't have a balance in that. I'm very like, no, like you're categorically, for example,
you're a cunt.
Yeah, for example, that meditation guy, I won't say his name, but
yeah.
Categorically you're a cunt, but that's because I've seen him, like, throughout, you know, over like a year and a half, just be a cunt to so many fucking
people. You've seen
him
off camera?
I've seen him on camera, off camera, and I've seen him be a cunt to so many people. Like, that whole idea of a snake will always be a snake.
Absolutely.
That's my cunt. That's pretty much my man.
But do you genuinely believe a snake will always be a snake in terms of the...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But at the same time, it's weird. It's like it's kind of like a paradox. It's weird, but I think, like, the way that someone is, the way that you are, the way that I am, like, we've become these, I like to think, absolutely beautiful people.
You've practiced being
that person. This is something that Jordan Peterson says. Like, the way that someone is right now, it's not just haphazard, it's not just in the moment. Like, they've practiced being like that all their fucking life. Which is why, like, if you're a cunt to me now, you've probably been a cunt all your life. And the likelihood of you not being a cunt later on is pretty fucking low. That's why, like...
Interesting.
But at the same time, I'll give everyone a chance.
But then, the idea of... that you just said, sorry.
Thank you.
You're being a cunt now. Mm. You've probably been a cunt all your life.
Yeah.
Using the word cunt, aren't
we? Cunt. You heard that song called Cunt?
Cunt.
Have you heard it?
It's a great song.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, it's great.
We're talking about that, the same one.
Oh, probably not.
One goes cunt.
Oh, no, I'm not thinking, of Todrick Hall.
Horrible.
Pussy. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, shut up. yes. Basically, I don't believe that people are born evil, right?
I agree.
Same.
So then how can someone have been a cunt their whole life?
They've learned traits. They've mimicked their environments of a cunt father, accents, a cunt uncle, a cunt mother.
And that's all they know in terms of their attitude.
Yeah, essentially the reason someone's a dick is something's happened, they lack love, they lack attention, they lack the most basic affectionate human needs that we all need to be. And then their coping mechanism is, it's me against the world. And that usually happens in the early stages of, like, childhood.
Yeah.
And then that's it. That's just their model of the world.
You mimic your environment. You take an adopted person, send him to Africa, lives an African lifestyle. Person goes to London, lives a London lifestyle. You measure the genes of those two people. They're completely different, but they're fucking, say, twins. Everything's environment-based.
Well, the genes would be different, but the brain... functionality would be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, their whole body is completely different.
Send to each other. Yeah,
if you put them in the same school, they're probably going to be the same type of people, but, like, the environment is crucial. If you've just seen abuse and torture and punishment, your mum punching your father, that's going to have a massive effect on, like, how you see women. If you watch too much porn, that's going to have an effect on how you expect sex life to be. Everything's based on what you see. If you don't know anything, then you just you don't know anything. You just start from scratch.
Yeah.
The intuitive thing will be to whatever comes natural. If you see a frog, if you don't even know what a frog is, you just might feel this connection to feed it. Like a fox might bring a rabbit, you know, if it sees it struck. It's just like the natural kingdom.
Think about what you said about holding grudges. I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah.
Put myself in question. Je me mets en question, it's a French thing. And I think it's a very conscious choice. Because I used to give everyone the time of day, even if... I think I used to be too lenient. And I used to let people... Like, I used to be the complete opposite.
You used to be a bit of a doormat.
I used to be a fucking doormat.
Yeah.
And then I just, because essentially I wasn't seeing people for who they were. And now the people that I do, I guess, maybe I don't know if I hold a grudge or not. But once I've seen you over time be a dick, that's it. You're in the dick pot. You're in the dick category.
I like it.
Yeah.
Sell those.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Resentment to that person.
I don't know if it's resentment.
Wrong
word. Hey, what?
Resentment.
Yeah.
You resent them, like, yeah. I just can't. I've just seen everything, like.
Yeah, like I've seen. That's
essentially
what
holding grudges is. It's holding on to resentment for a person.
I've seen you be a dick to not just me, but so many people. Like, you are. You categorically a twat.
But then, do you think that grudge or that reaction you have to that person comes from a place of wanting? Or maybe you just want to ignore, you want to fucking leave them alone, you don't think they deserve the time of the day anymore. Like, you genuinely feel that now, even though you used to.
Mm.
Or it's from a place of you want them to be better.
No, because that's none of my business.
Okay.
It's none of my business for anyone to be better or worse. It's just that this person is a dick, and he's been a dick not just to me, to so many people. Mm-hmm. And if the world knows about it, it's okay, and it's probably a good thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does. Like, I can understand how you've gotten to that place. Obviously, you've got 7 more years on me, so you've had more experience with potentially more people.
Yeah.
So I can understand how you've gotten to that position, but I personally, that's just not how I feel.
Mm, yeah, no, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
Sometimes people need more pressure to squeeze more out.
Yeah.
So if, let's just say, these 5 people who's always been around, it doesn't change them. Sometimes the world needs to know, so he has external pressure to really put him in a corner even more, where he has to fucking get out. That you need to be squeezed, like crystals that come from diamonds. No, diamonds come from pressure. Yeah. More pressure. Sometimes you just need that, like meditation. Sometimes you just need to meditate an extra 5 minutes
I'm not understanding your analogy. I understand about pressure and crystals, but what's that got to do?
Were you saying something? You said that it's like better if the world knows.
Well, I won't go around preaching it, but if the topic comes and if someone asks me about this person,
your voice, your opinion,
or if it's we're on top, absolutely. Like, for example, I'm completely open to say that my grandmother.
Do you feel the need to tell people that?
Oh yeah, and that's sometimes I do feel the need to tell people, and it's not on topic, but that's my own trauma. That's my own shit. And I know that I'm imbalanced in that, for sure.
Okay.
But I'm absolutely okay in voicing the truth.
But let's just say, the 5 people that spend the most time with, mum, dad, whatever, she doesn't care. But then you tell the postman, tell the milkman, all of a sudden that affects...
I don't do that.
Now it's like, fuck, everyone, now you have to change. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah, tell more people, more pressure. Oh, fuck, I don't like it. Julie, down the road now.
I don't tell random people, but I just... When I have friends, which I do, like, we will talk about it. I only talk about these things to friends or people who I think it may involve.
I was responding to the analogy of sometimes it's better for the world to know. Like, the benefits of the more people know, does that have more?
See,
it's
where,
like,
your analogy.
Yeah, like, you have a reason to change, because now everyone hates me. Now everyone, even my fucking mum hates me, now I've got to change.
Yeah.
I don't go around telling the world, because I think...
If you hate you, that's probably why you're a dick.
I think my experience is my experience only, and also, like, you know, if I was to tell someone, let's say if I was to tell you, oh, by the way, watch out for this. Okay, here's an example. When I started hanging around in Lincoln at the open mics...
I swear to God. But no sausages.
They're perfect.
Oh, Christ.
Crispy boys.
Crispy,
a little bit crispy.
I'm happy with the crispy sausage.
Someone came up to me and she's like, oh, by the way, like, I'd be careful of that person, because that person is X, Y, there's this, this, this. I just want to let you know. And I felt like...
You think someone did this to you, sorry?
Yeah, and I was like, you've literally just taken away my freedom.
Okay, so...
And that's something I'd never do.
But do you not feel like that's what you are in turn doing when you're telling people, you know, this person's gonna do?
I would only talk...
This is not me saying that that's what I think you're doing.
I know what you mean.
And even though we're not going to meet your gran.
Yeah.
It's perception.
If ever you were to come to meet my gran, I would never say, by the way, she's like this, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, I'd let you figure out...
I'd make my own decision based on... Exactly. Not even based on. I'd have that in, like,
it's not my,
the corner.
Yeah, I would never warn people.
Clean slate.
Let's say that we've both experienced my grandmother and we've both been there. Then I'd talk openly about it.
Yeah, because I've experienced your pain. Yeah.
But never would I say, by the way, we're going to this house and this person has been like this to me, so watch out. That's not my place.
And even if you said that, I wouldn't take it as gospel, because I just think that's your experience with her.
Yeah.
I could be so submissive and different that she loves me.
Yeah, exactly.
But aggressiveness might be the reason why you don't get on. So clean slate, but knowing this person could respond differently in this environment, this person.
It's not... I'm very aware of, it's not my job to paint your picture.
Absolutely
not.
I can't remember if I do that in general, but I can't remember if I did that specifically when you came to meet me at Thor's with my sister.
No, you told me after.
Okay.
No, you didn't. Yeah.
I can't remember if I do that. I mean,
no, you don't.
I feel like if people ask me about my relationship with my family or
you'll be honest.
Or whoever, then I will be honest with them. But I'm not like, oh my god, you guys should be wary.
Oh yeah,
I've never done that, I don't think. But
no, I don't think you have. And I don't like it when people do that, because it's like, it's none of your business.
So
like,
when, to go back to this grudge situation, when you're holding a grudge against somebody, do Do you find it like it's? I know it doesn't sound very connected necessarily to that.
What can we define holding a grudge?
Well, as far as I'm aware, like, this is kind of like my memory of when we were told about grudges at school, because I know at primary school we definitely had, like, a teacher telling us about grudges and holding grudges. Yeah. Basically,
can
it's...
Can we move into the kitchen,
sir? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to stay in this very comfy chair. I think they essentially defined it as... when you hold a grudge against somebody, what you do is you hold...
The pain that they caused you.
Yeah, you essentially hold the pain that they caused you against them, and you don't forget it. You just don't forget what that person's done to you. Which sounds maybe like a really stupidly simple thing, which might not even be true about grudges, I don't know, but you just don't forget it. Mm. And it affects you every time you think or see that person, and you let it become all that person is to you.
Mm.
That's kind of the...
In that case,
definition I've grown to understand.
In that case, in that definition, yes, definitely.
And that's all you see them as the person who did this thing.
No.
You ignore all the positives and just see those negative ones.
I always see the positive. You have to. You can't just look out and say, oh, there's only sky. No, it's fucking sky.
For example, you don't want to see that one person because of the one negative, even though they've got 50 positives. That's like saying that negative overrides and overpowers all the positives. That's why I'm not seeing you.
And that kind of comes onto that conversation we had yesterday about cheating, doesn't it? About, you know, you tend to hold on to that one thing that that person can't provide, and that's why you go elsewhere for
and
it.
And forget the 10 that they're bringing, that they're giving you already.
Yeah.
I have to really watch myself on that, because that's how my mum was towards me in general. It's like there's that much good, that much bad, but oh, let's only talk about the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I need to go inside my head and my heart and like re-cognitively
easy to process it, understand, use your metacognition to understand why you've got to the opinion of how you have.
But the same, like,
have you heard of the term metacognition?
No, I haven't, by the way.
Oh, so metacognition is like the it's the one thing that humans can do. We're the only species that have the ability to do it, and it's essentially like thinking about our thoughts. So we have the ability to analyze
consciousness.
How we've gotten to thoughts. Not necessarily consciousness, because some animals have
consciousness.
But we have the ability to go, I think that you're a dick. And then we can take a step back from that thought and go, why do I think that you're a dick?
Yeah. And then why am I thinking?
Am I a dick for thinking that you're a dick?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's part of the questioning of it, yeah.
So what comes to mind is,
yeah.
You see life is just like, it's that, it's one, but really it's two. Positive, negative, sperm, egg, it's night and day, it's two. So you can have a million positives, which just merge into one. Like the common denominator of 14, 21, 28, you know, 32, whatever, is seven. It merges into one.
Mm-hmm.
All the negatives merge into one. If someone has more negatives than positives, then... that's going to be the overall energy that they are, the negative. And if you don't like their negative energy, then you won't want to be there. So you'd have a million positives, but if you've got a million and one negatives...
then you're going to see them as well.
You're going to see... every time you're with them, there's going to be more negative energy. You don't want to be there.
Yeah.
So therefore, it doesn't matter how loving you are and how much you feed me, if you just being a certain way when I'm with you makes me feel so bad, I don't want to be there. Fuck your food, I'll make it myself. I can't bear you just looking at me with this grudge and... Why did you do that? Like, why? I can't deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it merges into one. Now the negative is a two and the positive is a one, and it outranks.
Yeah.
Because it all does merge into one.
Yeah.
That's cool rhythm. This toaster. Back to the growth thing.
A rhythm.
It's really interesting because I kind of choose to hold a grudge. It's kind of like a choice.
Is it a protection? Do you see it as like a self-defense business? Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Oh, man, there's so many ways to look at this.
Do you feel they have the power if you forgive them?
No, I forgive them.
Look at it only in the way that you
I'll forgive.
Like,
no, I fully... Yeah, but I look at it in all these ways. I fully forgive...
Fucking burn that down.
No. I fully... Oh, yeah, whoops.
It's
Nigerian. Whoa.
What?
We can edit it,
yeah. I'm not editing this shit. That's red, that's blue, that's black, that's white.
That's Nigerian.
In terms, like, for example, I don't know. I forgive my grandmother fully. I understand why she's like that on a spiritual 5D, which some people this won't make any sense, but on a spiritual fifth dimensional perspective, I know why it's happened like that. And it's ultimately to serve my growth. But at the same time, if I don't see her for who she is, which is categorically a very toxic, horrible person, even though she's got amazing qualities, and I see that too, but when I look at the environment that she's created and who she's damaged and how she's damaged people in so many ways, I think it's kind of like meeting reality on reality's terms.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's like really not good, you're not a good person, but at the same time I'll look at the bigger picture and it's like, you're not good, you directly create people harm, but at the same time you're also creating opportunity for these people to figure shit out through that harm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it does definitely make sense, and I can see where you're coming from. I wanted to, you said something.
Can someone butter toast, please?
I've always been told I'm not very good at spreading butter. I can't.
Cop out. I'll kill this guy on the fucking chair. I know, I'm joking.
I'm so confused. Oh, so you said something at the end, which was loosely connected to what you said 41 seconds beforehand. You said something about, I know why she's like that. I understand spiritually, fifth dimensionally, why she's like that. And it's to serve your growth.
Yep. There's also other reasons.
To go into the growth sort of tangent of this conversation, when you look at growth and like processing and progression, do you see it purely on a like your own personal individual level? In terms of everything that happens to you, or happens around you, or that people do, things that happen in other people's lives?
No, I look at it like in terms of
but do you see that as stimulus for you to grow?
No, for everyone. Because I think every event is an offer. It depends on how you see it. I think every event, no matter how good or bad or neutral, is an opportunity. It's if you choose what you do with it, it's an opportunity for us to create something. Like to create growth within myself, or to create pain. Like for example, for my mum, she still uses the stimulus of my grandmother to perpetuate that sense of pain and victimization.
Okay.
Whereas if she wanted to, she could use it as an opportunity to overcome that, to practice forgiveness, to practice letting go, to practice respecting her boundaries. I think it's an opportunity for everyone to do what they want with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know I don't make sense.
No, you do.
There's so many ways.
It makes sense to someone.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something.
No, you're good.
Sit on your legs in the air.
Probably.
Flexible little bitch.
Yeah.
Alright, it's pretty much ready, guys. Just ate the final one. I don't know.
I'm ready,
babe. Like, are you cool to do dishes later on after, bro?
I'll get over it later. Is there anything you want me to touch with that? Do that egg thingy.
Right, let's stop the podcast. We've gone past our material.